dry rooms available to moms and dads. I think it's funny. I like it when it says dry rooms available to moms.
Yeah. I know my dad.
Sounds good.
Well, I can't make it, I'm just gonna drop out.
Surely goodness. Well, it says
I'm gonna give you in between each song.
Yeah, I'll babble.
Woo! You're hot.
I am really warm this morning. All right, folks, I guess that's your cue to come on in, have a seat. We're going to get ready to worship this morning, and it is a great day to do so. It is awesome to be able to gather together in the house of the Lord this morning as a church and worship the one who has loved us from before we were born and loves us right now. Even in the middle of our messes, he loves us and cares for us and sustains us each and every day. And it's an amazing thing that the most important thing to him is that we are in a relationship with him. And it was so important to make that possible that God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, to remove our guilt, our sin, and our shame, and all the barriers so that we could be in a relationship with him. And we need to take advantage of that. We need to take advantage of the fact that he's opened the door to us and said, all who come to me, I will clean you from the inside out. And so this morning, as we worship the God who is the creator and sustainer of all life, let's go before him in prayer. Father God, I thank you so much for your incredible plan to redeem a bunch of crackpots like us. When our lives are falling apart, when there was nothing good inside of us, you sent your son to live for us and to die for us, and you raised him from the dead to give us the promise and the guarantee that you can give us eternal life. And by faith, we come before you today saying, forgive us for our sins, for they are many. Wash us and make us clean this morning. Through the precious gift of your Son and the blood of the Lamb, we come before you today. And we say thank you for accepting us and redeeming us. And we just ask that today would be a day that we can worship you because we're right with you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' precious name that all God's people said. Amen. Let's stand as we worship together this morning.
You are good, you are good, when there's nothing good in me. You are love, on display for all to see. You are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you are hope. Covered all my sin. You are peace when my fear is crippling. You are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, in you death has lost its sting. To your arms, the riches of
Great things is that Jesus Christ is not dead, he is alive. Even though he was laying in a grave, he is risen from the dead, and he is seated at the Father's right hand right now, interceding on our behalf. And this next song is a beautiful reminder of that. It's called God You Reign, and it talks about how he continually works on our behalf, that he is alive and well, and he is coming again. So let's sing God You Reign.
You paint the night, you count the stars, and you call them by name. The sky is proclaimed, God, you reign. Your glory shines. You teach the sun when to bring a new day. Creation sings, God, you reign. Forever.
Because he reigns forever and he is seated at the Father's right hand. The beautiful thing is he lives to intercede for us, but he also extends to us and pours out into us his goodness, his love, his mercy every minute of every day. And I know that right now there are people going through difficult times. People who have lost loved ones, people who have had strokes, people who have suffered through the loss of jobs and everything else, and it seems like it's so out of control and beyond comprehension that God could care, but he does, and he is working on your behalf right now, and you can trust him because he loves you. Let's sing Goodness, Love, and Mercy this morning.
Oh Lord, you're my shepherd, you make me lie in fields of still waters, you restore righteousness to me. Though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil thing, for you are with me, and you comfort me. Surely
going through, when it seems like you're alone and he's not there, you turn back into him and you will find he's right there to receive you and comfort you through whatever you're facing, because he loves us like a good father should.
But I've heard a tender whisper.
Father God, the reason we are able to come before you and call you our good Father is because you are the way maker. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And you have opened up a door that no man can slam shut. That anyone who turns to you by faith, that Jesus Christ, your Son, died on a cross for their sins, they shall be saved, they shall be free, and they shall call you Father and find out how good you really, really are. So we thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for this day. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. It is good to see you guys this morning. We've got a lot of people on our prayer list this morning, and a lot of things going on in our crazy world in which we live. And what my hope and my prayer is for each and every one of us is that we would come before the Lord and that we would honestly seek him to heal our nation and our land, to heal our people, to heal relationships, to heal our church, to heal our families, and to heal our lives. There's a lot of people listed with cancer, and there's a lot of people listed with difficulties that they're facing. But they don't have to face it alone, because they can face it with God right by their side. And many are, but some of the people that we pray for don't know him. And we need to continually pray that they would come to trust him and love him with their lives. So let's go before the Lord in prayer as we lift up many of the people this morning that are on this list. Father God, I thank you that you are not dead, that you are not silent, that you are not far from us, but you have gathered here with us today. You have promised where two or three are gathered in your name, you're there in the midst of them, and that you hear our prayers. So Lord, we come before you this morning as broken people, as sinful people who need to be washed up and cleansed from the inside out. And you do that in our lifetime when we turn to you by faith. I'm so glad we don't have to be perfect to come before you, because none of us could. But we can approach the throne of grace and mercy and love and lay our lives before you. And we can find forgiveness and peace with God. And Lord, we also get the added benefit of being able to come before the Creator of all things. And we can lift up to those who are sick, and we can put them into your care and trust that you will do what is best. And sometimes, Lord, that means you heal, and sometimes that means you don't. But in all these things, we will trust you. Help us to understand. Help us to understand your will and your plan. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with Ralph Giese today. And, you know, he struggles with his health, and we just ask for a special touch for him. Be with Esther Martin and her sister and her son. And I just pray that you would bless them today and let them have a great day. Continue to strengthen John Pokornik and allow him to gain strength every single day, and maybe gain reuse of that side that has been lost to a stroke. Be with Brad, and I pray that you would heal up his heart and that you would soften the arteries and that you would continue to do incredible things in his life. Lord, be with Carol Katzenberger, and I just pray that you would give her strength and healing and peace, and just all things would be clear in her mind and heart today. Lord, be with David Keller, and I pray that you would continue to heal him up and make him well as he's gone under shoulder surgery. And he says he's doing real well, and he wants to get out and do things. Don't let him do what he normally does and do something stupid and hurt himself. Pray that he listens to his wife and his doctors this time around. Be with Danetta, and be with all those who have lost loved ones. And be with Danetta as she gets ready for a couple surgeries coming up. And Lord, for my friend Rick, I just pray that you would guide the doctor's hand as they're basically going to revamp everything for his heart soon. Lord, the list of those with cancer, this unseen attacking agent in their bodies, is long.
And we pray that you would heal them up and make them well, if that's your will. And Lord, we just pray that you would be with all those who are in the nursing homes and keep them safe. Give them strength. And Lord, for our country and all those in leadership, Lord, I just pray that you would do an amazing thing, and that you would allow them, that you would conform them to lead as godly leaders as they attempt to guide our nation. And I just pray that you would work in each one of their lives today, and that we would see great things ahead for our nation instead of the continual despair that we're finding ourselves in. But Lord, if it's your will that this be done, so be it. We will trust you, because you love us and have better things in store than even America has to offer. So Lord, thank you for this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Poke the person next to you and make sure they're still awake. That was a long prayer. All right. Last week, I started into a series on the church and talking about how God said he was going to build his church, that he's going to build it and manufacture it and form it into what he desires. And Jesus said he was going to build his church. And the church we discussed last week is made up of people. When I say good morning, church, I'm not saying good morning to a building. I'm saying good morning to all of you who have come to him by faith and put your trust in him. And my hope is that as he has called you from wherever you were at, from whatever family group you were from, or state, or country even, that you have come to him so that he can do amazing things in your life. But the most amazing thing that he wants to do is have a relationship with you. And he wants you to be a pure and holy royal priesthood, a spotless bride that can stand by his side, and people couldn't tell you apart from him. And that is an incredible thing that he offers to us. And you know, that is something that is so different than what that small group of disciples who were huddled in that upper room were experiencing. They were sitting in the midst of all of this chaos and the craziness going on, and they were scared in that upper room, even though they had so many different promises from God. They were huddled away, waiting for what he had promised, and the time came when it was time for them to leave that upper room, and they didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what they were going to run into. They knew that they had the call of God upon them when he said, come to me, come and follow me. They knew that they had a promise where he had said, I will send you my Holy Spirit, and I'm going to send you out into the world, and you'll be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, where it seems like everybody's trying to kill you, to the very ends of the earth. Jesus had ascended into heaven in dramatic fashion, and they had waited just like he had told them to, and then Pentecost came, and they had received the power that Jesus had promised. And with that, they cracked open the door on the upper room and never went back. They didn't go hiding away. They went swinging for the fence with everything that was thrown their way. And it's incredible to see that as they stepped out of that upper room into the world to take the gospel message to the ends of the earth, they started out in a way that probably seems harsh. Harsher than anything Dr. Phil would say or Donald Trump would come up with. What they did was they hit all the people with the truth of the gospel. In Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 41, it says this, therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, by the way, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Now that is an incredible thing. He says, save yourselves from this corrupt generation.
Ladies and gentlemen, it isn't hard to look around and see that we are living in a very corrupt generation, a very corrupt society, place, and world. Instead of growing more Christ-like, it seems like it's growing more like Satan. And you know, in the time when they spoke these words to Israel and everyone who would listen, the times were as corrupt, if not more, than what we are facing today. To be in that time frame and all the things that they did and the horrendous things that were going on was no different than a lot of the things we're seeing right now. There was child sacrifice, there was temple prostitution, there was all kinds of things taking place, worshiping other gods and worshiping themselves and doing all these other things. And all these other sins are on the rise and growing rapidly. And they stepped out of that upper room and said, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And those who accepted the message and were baptized were about 3,000 that first day. Now that's some pretty good thing. They did more in basically one message one Sunday than the church has seemed to do in a long, long time. And the huge challenge is, are we going to be that bold ourselves? Are we willing to do these things? Are we willing to love people but tell them the truth? You see, when they hit the streets, the only thing that they had was the gospel, the promise of the Holy Spirit from God, which they had in hand, and the promise that God would build his church. And a door that was wide open to them. They had four really good things, all from God, pointing them in the right direction. And they had an open door, just like Daniel when he came out of the lion's den. What happened? He said, "Look, the God who sustains me protected me in here, and people were saved." Jonah, when he came out of the belly of the whale and was spit out on Nineveh's shore, the whole town was saved. Jesus came from an empty tomb, and the whole world has been hearing the gospel ever since. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you have the promises of God, you have all you need to go forward. When you have the gospel and the Holy Spirit, and you have the promise that God will build his church if we do our part, and an open door, and a place where you work, and a place where you live, and a place where you serve, God will do amazing things. So it's kind of interesting because they just didn't settle for that. They knew what they had and they knew where they were going, but they knew that they needed more than just watching people get saved. You see, a lot of places and a lot of churches just want people to raise their hands, "Yes, I accepted Jesus." Next week, that same person, "Yes, I accepted Jesus." And you know, there's a lot of converts made, but there are not a lot of disciples made. There are a lot of people who have been turned to Christ, but then it's kind of like my friend Ted Watkins. He had a refrigerator that he kept all of his garden seeds in his garage. It was a nice dry place. It kept everything safe. It kept it over the raccoons out. You know, the refrigerator didn't work, so he used it as a storage place. But he had seeds stored in there from the 40s and the 50s that never made it to the ground. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, when the gospel seed is planted, unless it's watered, unless it's cared for, unless you care for your relationship with him and grow it, it won't amount to much. Now, I believe that if you're that person today, that you're just hanging on to Jesus as your Savior, he will be gracious to you in the decision that you've made. But you're missing out on so much in life. And you're missing out on the greatest purpose for your life, which is to take the gospel into all the world, no matter who you are, no matter where you go. And they knew that. They had a winning formula: the gospel, the Holy Spirit, God's promise to build the church and an open door. So what more did they need? I know, they needed a really cool name, like the Church of the Rising Sun or something really cool like that, right? First Church would really apply in this situation, wouldn't it? They needed a nice building with big beams and air conditioning and multiple screens, right? Because that's really going to make the difference. They needed a great worship team with a pastor who could actually play an F sharp minor. That would be fantastic. Still can't. And that C sharp minor, I just can't. John tries to teach me and I just can't do it. I know. They needed more committees. Because everybody knows that church committees get things done. Right? No. See, they didn't do any of that. They didn't come up with a cool name. The best that they came up with is The Way. You know, that's kind of cool, I guess, maybe. They didn't have a building. They actually met in a synagogue. Imagine that. There was no such as thing as air conditioning then, folks. A gentle breeze by the sea was the best you could hope for. Big screens? What do you mean? The neighbor lady, she makes sheets. Maybe, is that what you're talking about? No, no, no. They didn't have projectors. They might have a little bit of worship. The only things that the church needed is what Jesus had promised to them and all that he gave them. And they took that winning combination and they knew that they needed to do something a little bit more to keep it going, to keep them growing, to move the people, that 3,000, from the point of salvation to a deepening relationship with their Savior. So what did they do? They dug in deep and God blessed them for it. Now, I'm not saying that they entrenched into the town and hid away again. No, they dug in deep into some very important things. In Acts 2, 42 through 47, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to one another as he had need. And every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the Lord. And the Lord added number daily those who were being saved. Could you imagine that? To see this incredible thing happen? To every Sunday, every week, every day, see new people coming and laying their life before Jesus Christ? To see people get saved on a regular basis instead of an irregular basis? How incredible would that be to watch as they took those people, those 3,000 plus, and grew it to 30,000 plus? Real disciples following Jesus Christ. And it says they devoted themselves to some very important things. To true discipleship and personal growth was everything to them. They devoted themselves, first of all, to the apostles' teaching. And that was the entire word of God. They taught to them what Jesus had taught them, but they also taught them from the Old Testament. And used it from Genesis and the fall of mankind all the way to Jesus and the cross and how God was redeeming the lost. And they said, this is what you need to know, is that God's been working since creation for this moment in your life so you could be in relationship with him. This is where it fell apart and this is how it can be mended. And Jesus Christ is your answer. And they took him and they shared them with everyone. And everybody dug in deep and they looked and they could reason and they understood. And they saw the big picture that God has always been at work, even when we've been off playing in sin. They took them from the fall to the cross and to the empty tomb. And said, not only has he made it possible for you to be saved and forgiven, but there is more than just this life. So many people are just trying to get through today. And they've lost sight and hope of the fact that there is a great day coming. When all of these earthly struggles will pass away and we'll be with him forever. And that's his great desire, is that we will be in such a close relationship that we can walk with him and talk with him. And it's cute. I look back and I see somebody holding hands in the back. And it's so cute that they're. I can't wait till the day comes when I get to walk by the sea and hold my Savior's nail-scarred hands. And I'm man enough to say, that ain't going to bother me one bit to walk holding another man's hand. Because those hands mean everything. And they formed me, and they're reforming me every day. And you only know that by spending time in the Word, that God is at work and He wants a relationship and He wants you to grow. And that's what they were devoted to, man. They were devoted. Hey, here's a crazy thing. Here's a thought. They met daily. Daily in the temple courts. So they went to work. They took care of their chores. And they went to the temple and they hung out and they learned together daily. And we think it's a sacrifice to come once a week or twice a month or once a month. Oh, it's a big sacrifice on my part. They were doing it every day, and we wonder why we're not growing as fast as they did. Well, maybe there's our answer. Daily time. And you know, you don't have to gather right here. You can gather with the church as you listen to the radio, Moody Radio. You can. That is an awesome thing. You might want to gather here. I don't know. You want to. There are people who come in and they have their small groups and they have Bible studies here at the church and they do those things. And you can do that too. But the great thing about it is, don't just wait for one day a week or maybe every other Sunday. Spend time daily with Him. All right, I'm meddling. I got to move on because it only gets worse from here. You see, they were devoted to the family of God as well. And remember that the church, the family of God, is made up of all those who have called upon the name of the Lord and are saved. It says that all the believers were together and had everything in common. And Jesus said, love me and love them. Now, here's the deal. It's pretty hard to be around people that are unlovable. Sometimes it's harder to love some people than others. And I'm on that list for a lot of people, and I know it. And it's okay, because we're all on somebody's list. And, you know, it's kind of weird. There was this week, I was minding my own business. I was having a little meeting. I was eating lunch with someone, and we were talking, and I got ready to go, and somebody had shown a little bit of love to this person and me. And I'll get even with them. They bought my lunch. And the ladies' lunch. And Ron's laughing because we've almost come to a fist fight in the middle of brothers over who's paying the bill. And I get a text the next day. So how was your lunch? And I'm like, thanks. Yeah. Buy my own dang lunch. But you know what? I knew something. I knew that they at least like and tolerate their weird pastor. And you know, when you do that across the board with everybody and you love everybody as best you can and you try to help those out in need, that's a good thing. Last week, on a short notice, my wife got called and asked a friend of ours to take her to a doctor's appointment and to go with her, and she received news that's as bad as it gets. And it was awesome to see my wife be able to do that and care for this person. And that person began to ask all kinds of questions about God and heaven and eternity, and she was there for her. And you know what? It just takes being available and looking and saying, can I help this person or not? And if you can, you do. It says, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had a need. All the needs were being met. They continually met in the temple courts. The family was a family. And you know what that means? Family of God? Family has to forgive one another for their faults. Love keeps no records of wrongs, and there has to come a point in time where we grow up enough that we're willing to set those things aside and leave them and say, you know what, it's not worth me carrying that anymore. Because all those little things and all those little tally scores and spreadsheets you got on everybody that you've got filled up with all the things that they've done wrong over the years, there's this deal, okay? The more you hang on to that, the less you can grab a hold of what God has. And if you want to be forgiven, you better start forgiving. And the best way to do that is just wipe everybody's slate clean, preferably, like he says, before the sun goes down. forgave one another, they cared for one another, and they loved one another just like Jesus had done for them while he was in their presence. And they were devoted to worship of God together. They had probably had a praise and singing time. Undoubtedly, they were in the Word of God together. They took communion together and broke bread as a reminder of the fact that he gave up his body and his blood was shed for us. Always to be mindful of who made it possible to be family and have all their needs met. And they devoted themselves to prayer. As a body of believers, they continually connected with God the Father in prayer all the time, every day. They lifted one another up and they grabbed a hold of all that they could as God spoke to them, as they remained open to hear, and the Spirit led them different places to do anything, do different things. I love when you read and it says, and Paul led by the Spirit went, and Barnabas led by the Spirit went, and all these different things where the Spirit led them on to do great things for God. And it always came at sacrifice for them to do so. They were prompted by the Holy Spirit because they were in such close relationship with the family of God and with God the Father, and they spent so much time in prayer that when he whispered, they heard. You want to turn up your hearing aid and hear from God, maybe you need to spend more time in prayer. Start alone and start with others and see what God can do. You know, it was interesting this morning on the way in. I was driving along in the big blue farm truck, and I'm going along and do, and I'm like, God, you know what? It's been a tough week, and I've said some things, and I've done some things, and I don't want to carry that in this morning. So please forgive me for being stupid. And I started listing off all these things, and God goes, why? I hate it when he only gives me one word in responses. And he doesn't do it very often. I don't want to sound, please don't make me sound like I'm super duper holy man here. But when God does say something, I tend to listen. And I'm like, well, I don't like feeling guilty. Why? I'm like, am I dealing with a 2-year-old or God? What's going on here? And he goes, and I'm like, because I don't want to stand up there in front of people and carry that with me. I want to just be free from all that. And I said, why? So I had to think. Why do I want to be forgiven for all that stuff? Why do I want to get rid of all the crap in my life? Why do I want to be forgiven for all the sin and the shortcomings and the failures? And I remembered something. He wants to forgive us and free us so we can be in a relationship, close, intimate, and personal with him. I said, Lord, I don't want any barriers between us today. I don't want any sin entangling me and holding me back from you. He goes, okay. I'm like, what's with the one word responses, God? He's like, I'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant, for another time. Until then, remember, I want a relationship with you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not Superman. I'm nobody special. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you for reminding me of that. And you aren't either. And he wants that relationship with you more than anything you want in your life. I mean, you haven't sent someone to die in your place, have you? God did. Because he loves you, and he says, I don't want to step into eternity after all of this ends without you. And you know, with that incredible thing, the church was established with the gospel and the promises of God and the power of God at hand. And the church grew as it invested time and talent and resources to become the people after God's own heart, 100% sold out to him, every area of their lives, everything that they have. Remember, we're just stewards of our junk, all right? We're stewards of our money. We're stewards of the things that we have. And God says, that's all mine, and it's to be used to reach the lost. And this amazing transformation was caused by the church taking God up on his offer to come follow him and to go into all the world. It says this, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts and broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. You know what's amazing is lives were changed and transformed. Relationships were healed and family was created out of a bunch of misfits and broken people. Real love and real transformation was taking place in the lives of people that nobody else wanted in this world. And in the end result, the church was firmly established and it prospered. And it says they enjoyed the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, when the church starts doing what God says, God blesses and the world falls into place. But if the church isn't going to do what he had said to do and how he says to do it and how we're supposed to act, believe, love, and to care for, then it's going to fall apart. So let me ask you something. Do you think the church is doing what it's supposed to do in light of the world that we're living in right now? We're all wrapped up in big buildings with big personalities and great worship and singing. And then we walk out the door and we go do something completely off script compared to what God desires. And he's going, come back to me. Come back to me. But no, God, you're just the air conditioning in my life. You're the get out of hell free card. I don't want to go to hell. He goes, why? Well, basically we deserve it. And he goes, I don't want you to go to hell either. I want a relationship with you, and I want to love you for all eternity. So come to me, and I'll make that happen. And lives were transformed. Homes were transformed. Families were transformed. Communities were transformed. Hearts and minds and opinions were changed. Can you imagine that? Opinions were changed completely about how they viewed the people who followed Jesus, and they endured the favor of God and the people. So do you want to be a winner in the eyes of God in the world? Isn't that what everybody wants? To be successful, and well, thank you for that, by the way. To be successful in the fact that God blesses them and the world recognizes that? Why is that not happening today? Well, maybe because we haven't put God's plan into practice. You see, all you need to do is put God's winning formula into practice in your life. Number one, accept the gospel and live for Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Please, people. Of every area of your life, I love Jesus my Savior and I bow before my Lord. Number two, you need to receive the promised Holy Spirit and listen to Him. When you're driving down the road because the radio don't work in your truck, you might as well just pray and ask God to speak. And He doesn't give big dissertations. Sometimes it's why and okay. You need to trust in the promises of God and the promise that He will build His church. He's going to do it. Are we going to do it with Him? Are we going to work with Him? Or against Him? You need to devote yourself to the Word of God daily. You can't be a spiritual giant and stay ignorant. Folks, you can't. I can't. Some days I feel like a pygmy. Nothing wrong with pygmies. They're great. But you know what? But when we start growing spiritually and you really fall in love with Jesus, you want more and you want to grow bigger. Like little Bryson Bunn, when he came in, I took his temperature this morning and I says, it says you've grown and you're growing every day. He got this big smile. I think he's going to be taller than his dad. Yes. Won't take much, but nonetheless. You know, you got to devote yourself to the Word of God. You need to devote yourself to the family of God. no matter what. Someone over here says, stubs their toe. Someone over there should be saying, ouch. You need to devote yourself to the worship of God privately and with other believers. Not occasionally or casually, but regularly. And like Paul encourages us to do, we need to pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Yeah, you know, you don't get many of these billboard signs from God, but here's one of them. Paul tells us, God tells us through Paul, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, this give thanks in all circumstances came to light earlier this week. I told you about my wife spending some time with her friend when she got the phone call asking her to take her up to go see her doctor. The interesting thing was I was having a bad moment, in an insignificant moment in time. I was mad. I was angry. Said some things I had to later repent of because it was not very, very Christ-like. And my wife walks up and she goes, honey, you having a bad time? And I'm like, really? She goes, at least we don't have terminal cancer. I went, okay. You know, in any circumstance, you can find some hope, and that hope is found in Jesus. So we got nothing to complain about, folks, do we, really? I mean, it's 72 degrees in here. It's nice. We got big screens. Got a nice building. You got a weird-looking pastor, but that's... But we don't have what the early church had going on. But we can. Because if we, the church of today, tap into the resources of God like the early church did and do the things that they did, we will see the same results that they did. That's God's promise, because he said he would do these things. And if we do what he says, he will do them. And I love that. It says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added daily the number of those who are being saved. See, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said he would build his church. And he's going to do it through people who are sold out for him and his desire to see everyone in the world get saved so that they can be part of the church themselves, the church he died to establish and he desires to build, one person at a time. So all we got to do is do it. But it's going to take more than just sitting here to make it happen. We need to take God up at his great offers to us. So let's pray. Father God, as we wrap things up this morning, I just pray that you would do an incredible work in all of our lives today, that we would be reminded of the fact that you have established a relationship with us, those of us who have turned to you by faith and put our faith and trust in you as Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, I pray that we will move from that camp to the people who have put you in the middle of their lives as Savior and Lord. And Lord, that we would take the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power that comes from him and do amazing things on your behalf. That we would be devoted to your word, we'd be devoted to one another. That we would spend time daily with you and worshiping you wherever we are at, with whomever we are with. And Lord, that we would care for those like you would care for them. And that we would spend time praying and seeking your face, even if you're pretty persistent with your one-word answers. And in all of it, we would trust you and love you with all that we've got. because we want to build your church so that everyone might know Jesus Christ is both Christ and Lord, Savior and Lord. And Lord, when that day comes, we will see him come face to face and take us home. So Lord, help us to do that until your kingdom come. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. We've got a closing song, and then I'm going to come up and pray us out. And there's offering plates out there at the on your way out the door to drop that in if you so desire. And so let's sing this closing song together. If you want to stand, you may do so as well.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Father God, thank you that you are capable of doing some amazingly dirty laundry. Sin-filled, stained lives can be made pure and holy. I just pray that we would remember that for ourselves, that we can approach the throne of grace because of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And Lord, that we can take that same message that says to the lost world that's so out of control, surrender to Jesus and be free. And Lord, I just pray that we'd all do that today. Lord, we love you definitely as our Savior. May we love you as our Lord. And may we show it by loving those around us just like you would. No matter what the cost, no matter what it takes. In Jesus' precious and holy name, all God's people said, amen. Have a great week, folks. Ushers will kind of let you out as quickly as you can and head on out, and you can socialize outside the parking lot. Have a great time. See you.